Last time and previously, we discussed the 2 days in the Gemara as to whether, in principle, salt is subject to Bishul in a Kli Rishon or is not subject to Bishul even in a Kli Sheni. And we quoted the Mordechai that's quoted the Halacha by the Rama as a Yesh Omrim, that even though in the Ikar Adin, salt is not Mispashel even in a Kli Rishon, but Yesh Lahachmir even in a Kli Sheni. And we noted the Machlokas of the Mefarshim as to whether the Mordechai, by extension the Rama, is talking dafka about salt that's not mevushal, or even salt that is mevushal. We know to the Mishnah Berurah, Paskins a split, that if we're talking about salt that already was mevushal, then you should be machmir in a Kli Rishon, but there's no need to be machmir in a Kli Sheni. We also noted previously that notwithstanding the Mishnah Berurah's comment when it comes to Melach, the Mishnah Berurah did paskin full throttle like the Magen Avraham in the case of Pashtida, that we follow the Hashta when it comes to the definition of Davar Yavesh versus Davar Lach, and even if the Davar Yavesh is going to subsequently be Nimuach, we still consider that to be a Davar Yavesh. So why is it that the Mishnah Berurah here is not willing to allow you to put Melach that's Mevushal already in a Kli Rishon Shehusar Me'al Gabei Ha'esh? So we noted when we discussed this the first time, different approaches in the later Svarim to understand the Mishnah Berurah. Either the Orchaz Shabbos' suggestion that maybe if something is Nimuach immediately, instantaneously, that's worse than the Pashtida case. So if the salt is going to dissolve instantaneously, maybe there we would at least on some level consider that to be a Davar Lach, and at least be machmir in a Kli Rishon. Or the suggestion that maybe we're working off the Zera Emes that the Shari Tshuva quotes, that has a different consideration in his discussion of sugar, that maybe the sugar is considered to be a fuya and not mevushal, and then is subject to potential concern of bishal acharafia, where we'd be machmir on in a Kli Rishon, but not necessarily in a Kli Sheni, or that where the derech is never to eat sugar be'en, maybe that's considered not nigbar bishulo until a subsequent bishul or placing in the water that is dissolving in right now. So bottom line, whatever the explanation is, what would emerge from the Mishnah Berurah is that if we're talking about salt that is already cooked, then Mishnah Berurah's recommendation is to be machmir in a Kli Rishon, but not in a Kli Sheni. If the salt wasn't cooked, then presumably the original Tavla Bracha, the Rama, would apply that you shouldn't even put it in a Kli Sheni. So what is the status of contemporary salt, table salt on the market? Is that considered to be mevushal or not? So I'm going to quote now from OU document S 12, placing salt into hot cholent or soup on Shabbos. So apparently there are three methods for producing salt. The first one is not really relevant to us, so we're going to talk about the second and the third. The second method is called solar evaporation. I'm just reading, salty seawater is gathered into ponds where the sun slowly evaporates the water, leaving the salt on the floor. The salt is then further dried in an oven heated to 200 to 300 degrees Fahrenheit for approximately 10 minutes. This method can only be used in areas which have a warm, dry climate with long rain-free periods like Israel, Australia, California, the Bahamas, and the Caribbean. And method number three, which is how American-produced salt is generally produced, is called solution mining. Salt mines are filled with water, and then this mixture of water and salt, i.e. brine, is pumped out of the mine. The brine is brought to a boil, which causes the water to escape as steam, leaving the salt behind. This process of boiling the water is done in a multiple effect evaporator. The pressure in the effects ranges from high in the first effect to low in the last effect, such that the water may boil out of the brine at more than 212 Fahrenheit in the first effect, and at less than Yasaledisbo in the last effect. In some companies, all of the brine goes through all the effects, such that all the brine is subject to high and low temperature boiling, in which case it is definitely mevushal. However, not all salt goes through that process. Even the salt that doesn't go through that process, is at least baked in an oven at 200 to 300 Fahrenheit for approximately 10 minutes to complete the drying process. This method is used by mill salt manufacturers in the USA, England, Canada, and other main salt producing nations. So, what's the issue? That some of the salt produced through the third method is not heated above Yad Salat Nispo. That salt then gets mixed up with other salt, which was heated to Yad Salat Nispo. So you have a mixture of some salt which was not heated to Yad Salat Nispo, some salt which was heated to Yad Salat Nispo. Do you say Bittel Berov? So on that point, they quote a piece from Reb Shlomo Kluger, Sefer HaChaim, Simen Shin Yud Ches, Se'if Tes. Reb Shlomo Kluger paskens that we don't say Bittel Berov when it comes to defining something as Mevushel for the purposes of Bishel Achar Bishel, because Lemaisa, the part of the food stuff that wasn't yet cooked, is now going to be cooked befoel when you apply heat. So you can't honestly just hide behind Bittel Berov and say that because of Bittel Berov, there's no Bishel going on. If Lemaisa, a certain percentage of the salt is going to be subject to Bishel. So if that was the case, maybe we should be concerned that any salt on the market is not considered to be Mevushel and therefore would be subject to an initial Bishel, and therefore, to the extent that Rechoshesh and maybe Kali HaBishel would be usher to place even in a klisheni, if a klisheni is at Yad Salat Nispo. However, this document quotes Rav Schechter that there is a following additional consideration. It's questionable whether the baking done to the salt, where it's baked in an oven at 200 to 300 Fahrenheit, is considered to be an afia. However, the whole reason that the Rambam is machmir to treat salt as potentially kali habishul to asr salt in a klisheni, that's because it's kali habishul, which means that it's going to get cooked even in a less intense mode of heat. So if we're worried that salt is of kali habishul, that could be cooked in a less intense form of heat, then whatever is done to it in a klisheni is definitely going to be done to it in 10 minutes in an oven at 200 to 300 degrees. And therefore, Manavshach, if we're going to treat it as Kali HaBishul, we can assume that it was already properly Mevushal at stage one in the oven. And they quote Rabbi Belsky as saying that 10 minutes of baking is afia, even though we're machmir on Bishul Achar afia. But since Bishul assault in a klisheni is only a chumra anyway, to assume that that's Kali Bishul, the Ikar Adin, salt isn't mispashel even in a Kli Rishon. Therefore, to pile on that chumra of Yesh Bishul Acharfia on top of the chumra that salt is mispashel in a klisheni is an unnecessary chumra al gabe chumra, the machmir tavla bracha, and therefore you don't really need to be concerned about placing salt in a klisheni. So that is the OU's bottom line policy, that when it comes to contemporarily produced table salt, it would be mutter to put it in a klisheni, and even a kli rishon shehusar me'al gabei ha'esh, because in principle it's already been nispashel enough previously that we're not worried about subsequent bishul. Yeah.
It's a Belsky holds that 10 minutes of baking tafia.
10 minutes of baking for salt is sufficient tafia.
Oh, I mean for salt.
Right.
Like that's it's like an F hold certain.
Correct.
Even though it said that it was free. I get
I'm sorry?
okay. Yeah, okay. It's just like just
Okay. Rabbi Karp, page Tav Samach Daled, also assumes that our salt is baked and not cooked. But he thinks that you should be machmir not to put it in a klisheni. He says you put it in a klishlishi, which we'll talk about. But even if you put it in a klisheni, he says, Yeshlo al mi lismoch, you don't have to be mitzari of chumras, bishul acharfia, and bishul b'melech at all. So all things being equal, he thinks that kedai lahachmir to only put in a klishlishi, but there's plenty to rely on to put it in a klisheni. Shvus Yitzchak has another consideration, l'chumra, perek kaf dalid. He says that no, even though the salt is cooked in an oven at a certain temperature for a certain amount of time, maybe we don't even consider to that to be afia. Why? Based on the tshuva of Moshe, Arachayim Chele Beis Simen Pehe, Chele Beis Simen Pehe, regarding tea leaves that are dried out on a flame, is that considered to be mevushel for purposes of bishul achar bishul? So Moshe assumes that in order for something to be halachically bishul, there has to be an enhancement, a change in the object that is subject to bishul. But if you simply put something in heat in such a way, in dry heat, that it dries out, that's not a sufficient shinoi to be considered bishul. The Shvus Yitzchak thinks maybe that's true by the process of baking salt as well, that there isn't really any change in the salt that's noticeable. That's like drying out a tea leaf. And maybe therefore that is not even considered to be afia. They also pass that you shouldn't put table salt in a klisheni, only in a kli shlishi. I think common practice is more like the OU policy that based on whatever cheshbon that you don't have to pile on chumras, that common practice is to put salt in a klisheni. And there's what to talk about even a klimishon, shehusar me al gabe ha'esh. Yeah.
Thing about Kitzel Baruch. So, can you say that about any Kitzel Baruch? Like, classic Kitzel Baruch, two, three pieces of meat.
Right.
So,
So now we're so in classic Bitul Rov, so there's a halachic status that is accorded to the minority piece of meat because of Rov. Here we're talking about is there bishul b'metzias?
like we're assuming that the not
The
just a piece of meat exposure. Or am I still eating enough
well,
of
so that's the machlokas he's shown, and whether can you eat all three pieces? How do we treat that? If you look at so that's the machlokas he's shown, that's a Yerideya topic. But Shlomo Kluger's point, one could disagree, but Shlomo Kluger's point is that lemaisa it's nisbashel b'poel, so you can't say bittul berov there if you're doing an act of bishul.
you can apply the same scar from the three pieces.
Right, that's a Yerideya concept. It's not a it's a machal sesuris concept. It doesn't apply to definition of bishul.
And also the salt, like what do they when they put it in the oven, they're trying to dry it out. What are they trying to do?
They're trying to dry it out to, I guess, make it usable, edible.
So that's not a tikkun
for the shvatzitzchak. That's not enough a tikkun because you don't. I guess it's not near the eye, and you can't. If you're not a professional, you wouldn't be able to tell the difference.
What's the heter again for putting salt into a few shishis from Agam Eish? If
that mik, so it's already. If we assume it's already been cooked. Or it's already been baked in such a way that there's no, we're not going to be machmer for bishul acharafia b'chi hai gavna. So even though the Ramah says that. Right, so we assume that the chumrah of the Ramah is by salt that wasn't nisbashel, but if the salt already was nisbashel, then it would be mutter even in a kli rishon shehusar me'al gabei ha'esh, and we're not mafmir b'chi hagavna to view the salt as nimuach. To view the salt as a davar lach, since me'ikra din salt isn't as special even b'kli rishon. Right. So that's Rabbi Willig assumes halacha as well, that you can put table salt even in a kli rishon shehusar al gabei eish, because anyway, to treat salt in as kali bishul is a chumrah, and if it's already cooked, you don't have to be machmir to treat that as a davar lach, since in its initial form it is yavish. So you don't have to be mitzarek the schools, those chumras. Yeah.
Isn't that group of the guys for the mission versus the machmir and the bishul?
So the Mishmaru says, "V'hani mili, the melach shachofrin, aval melach shaosin mimayim shemavashin osam, ein ba mishum bishul ukuli alma. If it's already cooked, there's no bishul. The ein bishul acher bishul. V'chein b'shugar miuter mehaytaim elina b'kli rishon la'acher shevi ruhu min ha'esh. V'yesh mifakrikin bazeh. V'tovli zar b'kli rishon." Lechat chila. Yeah, so the I think Rav Shachter Rabbi will think that you don't have to be machmir b'chiyah gavna for that Mishnah Berurah Seishah Yizhar Mekli Rishon L'Chachila. Okay. Apparently, there's something called Himalayan pink salt. And you're familiar with that? Yeah. Okay. Do you use it on Shabbos?
I use it.
Neither do I. So apparently, Himalayan pink salt is some kind of fancy salt that is not cooked. There's no cooking process. There's no drying process, and that would be a real visual concern on Shabbos. So that the OU says he should be machmir on even in a klisheni. Maybe even a klishlishi if a klishlishi doesn't help. So apparently there's such a thing on the market of that kind of salt that is not cooked, and there we'd be machmir even in a klisheni. Sugar, yeah. So you can't put your Himalayan, I'm sorry?
The klishlishi aspect, like maybe also like all this savory thing of stuff.
Okay, so we'll get to klishlishi soon, clean matter. Okay, but and also to the extent that we're machmir like the marshal that we'll get to probably next time about a dabar gush, then you couldn't put this Himalayan salt on your chalent on your plate either, if it's still yes, let this moment. Okay. Sugar nowadays is generally commercially sold, sugar is generally cooked, and therefore whatever we're talking about in terms of salt and the hat to put in a klisheni would apply to sugar as well. To put sugar in a klisheni. I think that's common practice as well. The OU has that Splenda is also considered halachically mevushal, and therefore you can put that in a klisheni as well. Again, the reason that we're more potentially more inclined to be makel to put melach even in a klibishin shehusal gabe eish, if it's read in the spashel, is that melach, it's clear, mi'ikaridin, we assume, is not in the spashel even in a klibisha, as opposed to other substances that were potentially more machmer on this kali abishal, because we don't know, they're not as in the Gemara, so then, even if we'll be makel in a klisheni, we wouldn't be as quick to be makel in a klibisha. Yeah.
Are we concerned, at least now, that anything might be Kali Bishul, or just things that...
That's what we discussed last time. We're concerned anything, at least the Urayim, which I'm not going to borrow, the Mishra Berurah follow, not like the Chazon Ish, assume that anything that we don't know for sure is not Kali Bishul is Misafik, potentially Kali Bishul.
But now we're talking about like specifically things that dissolve in liquids, but that's not like...
That may also be Kali Bishul, right?
But that's just for everything.
That's correct. Mm-hmm. So Splenda apparently is also considered Mevushal. And therefore, the OU says you could put Splenda in a klisheni, huadin, sweet and low, and equal, even though the sweetening agent in sweet and low is saccharin, which has a more complicated manufacturing process. To put it in lay terms, because I don't understand the chemical terms myself, it sounds like the complication is that saccharin is made of a union of multiple chemicals, each of which is heated initially during some part of the manufacturing process, but is then joined together and not necessarily heated a second time when it is all joined together in a new entity. So do we consider that to be a new entity that was never subject to Bishul, or do we follow the original state in which all these ingredients were nispashel? And Rav Schefter felt that that is also considered to already have been nispashel, because there's no noticeable change in subsequent bishul. So bottom line, that is treated as already having been mevushal as well, and therefore you can put it in a klisheni. Rabbi Karp is machmer that. Rabbi Karp thinks that saccharin is not considered mevushal, and therefore you can't even put in a klishlishi if it's authentically not mevushal. But we'll talk about klishlishi behemshech. Yeah, Kiva.
Sorry. What if it's already cooked? Even if it's Kali Bushel, why can't you put it into a Kli? What's the Tzad to be Machmir by?
By?
And like sugar, you can't put it into Kli Vishen Shu Sarmi Agamesh.
If it's Kali Bushel, so Kali Bushel may be.
Even if it's already cooked, sugar is cooked. Why can't you put it into?
Even if sugar is cooked, so there were more machmir.
Like, why is the Mishnah Berurah saying to me machmir by salt and a kibishon, even if it's cooked? What's the tzad?
No, so there's more reason to be machmir in sugar than in salt. At least by salt, you could argue that's definitely not Kali Abishal. So there's more reason to be mekel. But sugar is Kali Abishal. So then, if you want to be machmir, that's something that is yavesh and nimuach is considered to be a davar lach, then that would be, then you might be machmir for that. Dain Weiss of the Tshuva Minchas Yitzchak Chelak Aleph Simen Nun Hey, Chelak Aleph Simen Nun Hey, about Nescafe. Shaila was, can you pour hot water from a Kli Rishon onto Nescafe on Shabbos? Are the coffee grinds considered the vushal before you make powder out of it? So he writes that I guess he was still in Manchester at the time, that they were in consultation with the Nestle Company Limited of Middlesex, that the coffee beans, in the tshuva is printed in English, the coffee beans used in the manufacture are first roasted before being boiled and brewed, and are then boiled. So even though you have a powder that was already cooked, Dayan Weiss thinks you have to be machmir, that we consider that to be a davar lach because it liquefies and therefore subject to bishel achar bishel. So he says you shouldn't pour water from a kli rishon, yes, let us bow, onto the coffee. Ramosha doesn't think that's correct, Mikar Adin. Os Kazayan in his Chuvas to Rabbi Eider. It's already considered Mavushal. Not worried about the liquefying element. Says he himself, this Machmir Moshe writes, both when it comes to instant coffee and sugar, to put it to Kli Shlishi. But Ladina, he says, Ein Lahachmir. These matir mikar din in a kli sheni. Why was Ramosha machmir? What was his calculation to not allow it in a kli sheni? Doesn't it to himself be machmir in a kli sheni? He doesn't explain. Rabbi Heinemann, and the Rabbi Heinemann Sefer quotes the other same thing from Aaron Cutler. And of course, Baron Cutler explained that he was koshesh, that maybe in the manufacturing process there are pieces that weren't properly nispashel. So if you knew for a fact it was all nispashel, then it would be mutter b'klisheni. But he was Mesupak, maybe even Metzias. It wasn't all Nispasho.
You doing with the same talking?
Yeah.
Okay.
So Rabbi Heinemann said that when they came out with Maxwell House Minute Brew, that's a form of instant coffee, but it needs to be cooked for a minute before it's used. So he said that he thought that was a writer, but Aaron Carter was correct, because apparently you need another minute to finish the bishel. That the chop of Maxwell House Minute Brew was that it needed a minute to brew, and it wasn't fully mevushel before that minute. Then he said, not necessarily, maybe minute brew was just that it smells better if you brew it for another minute, but it's 100% edible even before that. Yeah.
In terms of the Nestle and like that,
mm-hmm.
like that chash, like is that just like a general chash that like whenever you buy something, you have to be concerned that like it seems like it was cooked, and it gives off the impression that it was cooked. You have to be concerned maybe it wasn't, or maybe when you cook something, like I don't know, it just seems, is that like a just out of nowhere, or is that coming from?
I don't know. That seems to be. I don't know. That's not general Malach. Again, Rav Moshe doesn't write why he was Machmir himself. That's Rabbi Heinemann's speculation based on what he heard from Rav Aaron Cutler. But I think if the manufacturers tell you that it's cooked, we're not usually concerned that it's not cooked. Yeah.
Zmichas Yitzchak was talking about Yuri, right?
He was talking about Eroi, but his bottom line was that the Shai was about Eroi, but his bottom line was that, right, you can't put in a Kli Rishon, you can't do Eroi Mikli Rishon.
So is he disagreeing with Rav Moshe? We're just talking about Kli Rishon, right?
Yeah, so what did he write? I guess you're right. I've been under the impression for some reason that he was Machmir Kli Sheni, but you're right. He's only talking about Iru Mikli Rishon. Maybe you're right. Okay, I think you're right. Thank you. Yeah.
And so, promotion holding on dog car. You should be
Machmir, like, by all. No, Rav Moshe says the Kli Sheni is fine. He writes he himself is Machmir and Kli Shlishi as a personal chumra. Okay. Now we had mentioned, yeah.
If you said that he's not worried about it being Mimuach, then how come a Kli Rishon Safar? He isn't just like salt then? And then.
So we still, whatever the reason for the distinction between Kli Rishon and Kli Sheni is, we still do have that distinction that we're more inclined to be Mekel on a Kli Sheni than a Kli Rishon.
What was the, how does it help that he wasn't worried that it was a Nimuah?
if he was worried that it would that we consider a davar lach and we're and we consider Kali Bishel, so that would be a problem even in a klisheni.
So
right. So Kali, if it's Kali Bishel, the Yesh Bishel Achar Bishel B'davar Lach, and it could be subject to Bishel and a klisheni. Okay, so we had mentioned previously that it's Mavur in the Gemara that Tavlin is not Mizbasha B'Klisheni. Tavlin is definitely not from the Kali Habishal. And the question is, what, to the extent that we're Machmer, like the Mishabrua from the Magen Avraham from the Urayim, that just about anything by default, Rechoshish is Kali Habishal, we know Tavlin is not, so how broad a category is Tavlin that we can consider something as Tavlin that's not Kali Habishal and not subject to Bishal B'Klisheni at all? So the Mishabura writes in Sifkatan Samechei, sorry, not sorry, Sifkatan Memhei. The Nagu Lizaher Perish Ein Nosnim Lechem B'Marak Shal Achalin B'Karas Yikli Sheni B'Kol Shekein Shizar Shal Alara Salei Mikli Rishon The Osam Shechoskem Abitzalim And Osam Socham Marak B'Kara Lo Yasim Arak Achar Shaloti Yas Ledispo B'Hamerek The Malachim Yishkula Machma Shenef Akvar Afilo Hachin Yisarim Kol Shekein B'Bitzalim Shitzarach Lizar Ki Einon Abikim B'Midi Nimiki Rakech The Kanal. So to the extent that we're even machmir not to put a piece of bread in a klisheni because of yesh bishal achrafia, you have to be machmir not to put a piece of onion in a klisheni that is yatzel edispo, because maybe an onion is considered mi kale habishal. If we don't know what's considered sufficiently soft that it's not kale habishal, that it's analogous to tavlin. Says the Sharitzian, Sukkot and Samach Tas, that's the Tas. The after Magan Avraham, Masha, the Sri Lud, the Bitsalim, Dino Katavlin, Ayin, Vit, the Seven Shabbos, Yadacha, the Magan Avraham, Ain Raya, Shacholik, Elataz, etc. So this is Machlokas, Magan Avraham, and the Tas, the Sharitzian, Mishabura, passing like the Tas over the Magan Avraham, that even though you're putting in an onion for spicing purposes, but we view onion as a food item, not as a spice, and therefore potentially subject to Kale Habishal. Ramosha in Shuvah Kaf Zayin to Rabbi Eider Os Gimel thinks that the Taz may be right of a Lav Mitameh, that the reason that an onion would not be considered a tavlin is because an onion is chayiv meiser, tavlin is pater for meiser. So maybe that's an indication that an onion is not considered to be tavlin. Shmir Shabbos, Funo Kuf Ayin Dalid, Kuf Ayin Dalid quotes from Rav Shlomo Zalman. Rav Shlomo Zalman didn't think when Chazal talked about spices, they're not our spices. With our spices that are all ground very finely, that are made to add taste to food, are potentially considered Kali Habishal because they're so fine. And the point of Kali Habishal are things that are very soft. So our finely ground spices should be considered soft enough that it raises a concern of Kali Bishol. And the spices, the Tavlin of Chazal, are chunks of cinnamon, chunks of ginger. That's what Chazal had in mind when they said that Tavlin are not Kali Bishol and not subject to Bishol in a klisheni.
I feel like if the Hashash has said something as Kali Bishol, it's already just a Humra. So, like, okay, they said that Tavlin is not Kali Bishol. So like once you start saying that, oh, but their tavlin is more, was more like thick, you know. So okay, we have like Mount Halim, which are more thick than that Talmud, but it doesn't really matter because we're still not.
Okay. That's what Shlomo Zalman said. Aruch HaShabbos doesn't like that for a different reason. Aruch HaShabbos footnote Sadi Zayin. He says, even the time of Chazal, they have ground spices. For example, Shabbos Kuf Mem Aleph, Hashochik Pilpulin Chayav Katas. So you were grinding up the pilpulin, presumably finely. Gemara's in Beitza, chopping tablin. So Aruch HaShabbos thinks it's not a stabber that Chazal, when they spoke about tavlin not being subject to bishulin or klisheni, we're only talking about certain types of tavlin and not others. We're talking about tavlin in general and didn't make such a distinction. And Shmuel Yitzchak says, Perek of Dalit Os Gimel, presumably Rav Shlomo Zalman thought that even to the extent that there were fine Tavlinim in the time of Chazal, they weren't as fine as our fine Tavlinim. He's not sure how Rav Shlomo Zalman would have known that. And he writes, in personal conversation with Rav Shlomo Zalman, Rav Shlomo Zalman said he wasn't clear on this. He wasn't firmly of this opinion, but he was raising it as a suggestion. In the Shabbos Kitchen, I saw that he writes in the, he quotes this from Shlomo Zalman in the footnote, but he writes in the text that powder, ginger, cinnamon, and pepper are considered tavlin and are definitely not kalei habishal. Mishaburus of Katan Lama Tess, where he has the Arichas about how to make tea in Shabbos, which we'll be neither get to next time, but he assumes that tea leaves are not Kali Habishal, and therefore are subject to Bishal even in a Klisheni. I'm sorry? I'm sorry, are not Tavlin, and are therefore subject to Bishal even in a Klisheni. In Sharitzian Sivkada Nun Hei, he's Mitzayin the Tshuva of the Binyan Tzion, Simen Yud Zayin. Binyan Tzion Simen Yud Zayin was asked about tea leaves. The Shoel writes that when he came to White Russia, Belarus, he saw that common practice was people would pour hot water from a kli rishon onto tea leaves, and he was shocked. He says, "You're being mechal Shabbos. He was mevashel kadei klipa." And the tea leaves were not previously cooked. So when he pointed this out to people, they told him that no, we heard Mipi Shmua that the tea leaves were already cooked in China before they got here. And Ein Bishel Achar Bishel. But he says, we know that's not true because I spoke to a businessman who has a tea business in Hamburg. And he told me it's not cooked before. There is some water poured on it, but it may be lukewarm. It may not be cooked. But Binyan Sin responds that he did his investigation, and it's clear that the tea is not previously cooked. So there's no suffix that we're talking about a malacha to pour irikli vishan over tea leaves. Potential fee of skila. And you should be mefarsing this lahare michshal miderech beis Yisrael. Same thing in the Aruch HaShulchan Siv Kavches. He writes, Rabim Nechshalim Bezeb, Betaino Shel Hevel. Yesh Omrim Shati Kvarnes Bashel Bim Komo, Vein Bishel Acher Bishel. Betos Godel Hu, Afilo Me'emes Kein, Hu, De Bisham Ein Abishel of Ashlo. It's maybe to soften it up, they could do a Bishel later. But there's no Bishel going on, and Sheker Adover, Ein Mevashin Asal Bim Komo. So we're talking about a real malacha. So Aruch HaShulchan Din Yitzim Mishabru assume that tea leaves are subject to regular bishul, even in a, the Din Yitzim is talking about Iru Mikli Bishon. But they assume that it's not considered tavlin, and therefore subject to bishul even in a kli sheni. Rabbi Karp, both from Rav Yashiv and Fisher, Zechana Lebracha, that tea beds are considered kali bishul and subject to bishul in a kli sheni. Rav Shakta quotes from the Rav that the Rav held that tea leaves are tavlin and therefore are not subject to bishul in a kli sheni. That was the practice of the Rav. So we'll come back to tea bli neder next time in terms of what to do practically. Chazan Ish writes that lemon has a din of a tavlin. Remember, the Chazan Ish himself is skeptical about the broader application of treating everything we don't know as kali abishal. So the Chazan Ish thinks that lemon has a din of tavlin. So therefore, according to the Chazan Ish, it would be permissible to put a piece of lemon in a kli sheni. Igros Moshe, Shmir Shabbos and Rabbi Karp are machmir, that lemon is not considered tavlin, would be considered kali bishul, and therefore cannot put lemon in a kli sheni. Rabbi Karp is makel about lemon juice, especially b'tzir of the fact that, as we saw last time, the Alter Rebbe, many Achron, were of the opinion that liquids are never considered to be kali abishal. Not only the liquids mentioned in the Gemara, not only shemen, but any liquid is not considered kali abishal. So, b'tzir of that, Rabbi Karp thinks it could be makel on lemon juice in a kli sheni. Aruch HaShabbos is mistopic about that in footnote kuf ches. What about honey? So it seems that commercial honey, generally speaking, is pasteurized. In one place, I saw it pasteurized at 161 degrees, which would be just about the higher chumra shir v'yasala dispo, or almost there. And this was somewhere else a little bit lower. But it would seem, if those facts are correct, that honey is sufficiently pasteurized that you could consider it mevushel for these purposes of putting in a kli sheni. And I would think, even if it's a few degrees lower than the upper threshold for where your machmir l'chumra on the upper threshold of the asla dispo, but given anyway that it's questionable what's considered to be tavlin or kali abishal, that yesh makom lahakel, that's sufficiently pasteurized. But if anyone wants to do any further research as to what exactly the pasteurization temperature for honey is, there is uncooked honey on the market as kind of a specialty, but stam cheap honey that you buy in the store, in America at least, is generally pasteurized. Yeah. You should not put in a klivisha, correct? I'm sorry? You should not put it right to the extent that we are machmir, all things considered equal. That we are machmir, all things considered equal, to consider something that becomes nimuach as potentially subject to double lach status, then yeah. Okay. Now, Tosfos raises another consideration that may be relevant in Bishul B'Kli Sheni, independent of Kali Bishul. And that's in Tosfos on Daf Lamed Tes Amud Aleph. Ira Maskil Kol Shabba B'Chamin Milufnei HaShabbos. Where Tosfos one Tavar says, Omri, Dafil B'Kli Sheni Ein Shabbos. This is talking about the Mishnah Kuf Mem Hei of Kol Shabba B'Chamin Milufnei HaShabbos Madichin Shabbos B'Chamin B'Shabbos. Kol Shaloba B'Chamin Milufnei HaShabbos Madichin Oso B'Chamin B'Shabbos. So, according to the Ri, Madichin is Dafka B'Iroi Mikli Sheni. Omri, Dafil B'Kli Sheni Ein Shorin. You can't soak it in a klisheni. The whole da mayim chamin mechzi kamevashel. Since the hot water is hot, it looks like bishul. The alpha gav de tanan lekaman aval nosin lesocha ka'ari lesocha tamchoy. Hainu dafka tablin sheina suyin lemasik es hakadera below mechzi kamevashel. So when it comes to tablin, that just adds flavor, adds spice. So then you can put tavlin in a klisheni. It's not kali bishul, so it's not in this batch of a klisheni. And there's no mesikim avashel because no one would think that you're cooking the spices. It's clear that you're just putting it in for taste. But short of that, anything other than spice would potentially be subject to mesikim avashel in a klisheni, even if it wouldn't be kali bishul. So this day in Tosfos is not quoted in Shulchan Aruch, but the Magen Avraham quotes it Lalach in Sifkatan Tesvav, and the Mishnah Berurah quotes the Magen Avraham in Sifkatan Lamed Dalet. This is going on that line. Davar Yavish and his Bashim with Ne Shabbos ain't showing the Sabachamim the Shabbos. Says the Mishnah Berurah, Sharei Yatzla, that's bad. Bafilim lo yanichu sham achi ni muach, afilim b'klisheni nami yasir lishros, dim mafsika mevasho. Velo dami letavim besif test, lo asir al b'kli bishon, ditavlin asuyin lamasika kadera. Below Mechzik HaMavashel, that anything other than Tavlin would be subject to Mechzik HaMavashel in a Klisheni, so says the Magen Avraham, and that's what the Mishnah Berurah is quoting here, LaHalacha. So even if something is not Mikali HaBishul, and otherwise would not be subject to Bishul the Klisheni, it sounds like you may still have to contend with a Mechzik HaMavashel consideration. That's what Shmir Shabbos points out in Ha'arav Kuf Samach Ches, that at first glance seems a little bit surprising, that even after we deal with Kali Abishal, you can still have something that's usher in a cliche because of Mexican Abishal, even if it's not Kali Abishal.
Cliche in Abishal, the only thing that cooks in the cliche is Kali Abishal.
Right.
And how can it ever be Mexican Abishal if it's not a Kali Abishal?
So what does Mexican Abishal mean? There's an Or Zeruah. Rabbi Willa quotes part of this Or Zeruah for different reasons we'll get to, but there's a line in the Or Zeruah. Shwas Yitzchak quotes his Or Zeruah also. Or Zeruah is in Simen Samach Beis. There are two noteworthy points in this Or Zeruah. So he writes, Pesha Ben Tam, Tahacha Aser Mishum De Mechzi Ke'ein Bishol. That's talking about placing something in a klisheni. The Dilma What's the mafsikim of Ashel? If we allow you to put something in a klisheni, even if it's not going to be in the special in the klisheni as such, you may come to put that same type of food item in a klibisho. That's mafsikim of Ashel. That's the Rosh Hashanah says it's the mafsikim of Ashel letosos. Aval gabei tavlin a nira bishel elamisha mesukei taima. But there's no mafsikim of Ashel when it comes to tavlin, because here it's clear you're putting it in just for taste. The pa'amir megil and litain tavlin betavshil sonein lamaska v'litain bo reach tov. After all, says the Ozerua, you can put spices in a cold food item also to give it taste, to give it smell. So the fact that you wouldn't only put spices in something hot is an indication that you're motivation is not bishul, and then there's no merci kemavasha. Why would your motivation be bishul?
Motivation bishul has nothing to do with it. Clearly, you don't think it's mevasha because you're putting the cuisine.
But if you see lemaisa, it's hot, so even if it's not going to chemically affect Bishol, but it's hot enough that it looks like Bishol, and if we allow you to do that, we may come to you may come to put nuclear vision also.
Bishop on a towel. Like intention should matter.
So the way he contrasts it with Tavlin is that it's also a matter of perception. That if you see someone putting in a food item, you may get confused and put in a klibishon. If you see someone putting in tablin, you wouldn't get confused because there's no bishul in anyone's radar screen there. That's the Ozerua. Rabbi Eider writes in footnote Nun Hey that Mishabura seems to assume that just like tea leaves are not tavlin, then coffee grinds are also not tavlin. And Rabbi Eider, in explaining that, says the reason you would say that coffee is not tavlin is tavlin is something that adds taste to a pot, as opposed to coffee. You're not putting the coffee in the water to add taste. You're putting the coffee because that's what you're interested in. That's the main attraction. That's the main food item that you're putting into the water. You can't call that tavlin if that's the main course. That's the main ingredient. The Rabbi Willig pointed out in explaining that, Mordechai Simon Yud Os Beis, that may be along the lines of this Mafsikim of Ashel in Tosfos. That for Tosfos, there's no Mafsikim of Ashel in Tavlin, because when you're putting the Tavlin in the food item in the Klisheni, you don't see the Tavlin. It's adding taste, but it's not nicker independently. But you put coffee grinds in water in a klisheni, that's nicker. So there may be more of a maxi kemavashel consideration. Then he points out, along the lines of that Orzeru we just read, Orzeru said that Gabay Tavlin, a near official Elamisha Mesuke Taima. The reason you're putting the Tavlin in is to give taste. The farmer, Megillin, Litain Tavlin, Betavshel Tzonin. Sometimes people Tavlin even in a cold Tavshel, Limbosko, Velitain Bo, Reach Tov. So your interest is not in Bishel of the Tavlin, because after all, you would put it in cold food just as well. And that's a consideration why, or that's part of the definition of what we would consider tavlin. So Rabbi Willig said maybe that's relevant to putting milk in a klisheni as well, where your intention is not to cook the milk. Your intention is to flavor the coffee. So generally, most folks can assume that if you have milk that's already been pasteurized, as commercial milk is, so we're not worried about Bishel per se. And if you assume that there's no, if you assume that the Alter Rebbe, the Shulchan Aruch, that there's no, that there is no Kali Abishal by any liquid, then milk wouldn't be subject to Kali Abishal in a klisheni. So Shmir Shabbos passes away with Shemir Shalmazamin, that you could put milk in a klisheni, in your coffee in a klisheni. I think that is common practice. However, Shmuel Yitzchak quotes from Rav Yashiv, there are two potential considerations here. Number one is to consider Kali Bishel, so that you have the Machlokas Achronim is milk b'chlal, considered potentially considered Kali Bishel. So you have the Alter Rebbe is Mekel, that no liquid is subject to the Kali Bishel. What about Mechzik and Mevashel? So as the Prima Gadim, Shmuel Yitzchak points out, Prima Gadim in Sefkatan, Eshel Avram Lamed Beis and Lamed Dalid, Prima Gadim Paskins that there's no Mechzi Kimavashel by liquids Bechlal. Mechzi Kimavashel is if you put a solid piece of food in a klisheni, so it looks like you're cooking it. If you're putting liquid in a klisheni, just it gets mixed together. There's no Mechzi Kimavashel there. However, there's a Tosefa Shabbos that's machmir that there could be Mechzi Kimavashel in a klisheni. So apparently Rav Yashiv is machmir for that, that we are worried about mechzi kemevashel even on liquids in a klisheni. And he's concerned that maybe when it comes to milk, even though milk is pasteurized before it's on the market, but the way the Shvi system says it's pasteurized at 163 degrees for 16 seconds, and maybe that's called lo nigmar bishula. Maybe that's equivalent to machla ben drusai, that when you heat it up more, there's a further enhancement of the milk. So between that and the consideration that maybe there's mechzi kemevashel, apparently Rav Yashiv would heat up whatever milk they're going to put in a klisheni on Shabbos before Shabbos, that it would be further cooked in advance. I think Minhag Olam is like Shmir Shabbos, Shemir Shalom Azamin, that we're not worried about the tzira for these various kumras, and you could put milk in a klisheni on Shabbos, at least milk that's already been commercially sold milk. Now let's talk a few minutes before you have to wrap up about Kli Shlishi. So we quoted last on the Urayim that even though where the Urayim says that we're machmir to treat almost everything under the sun as Kali Abishal, that's true, Bein Bekli Rishon, Bein Bekli Sheni. However, Bein Bekli Sheni, Bein Bekli Shlishi. However, the Mishnah Brura quotes in Tifkatan Mem Zayin from the Prima Gadim. Prima Gadim, Eshel Avram, Tifkatan Lamed Hei. Mishnah Brura says in Tifkatan Mem Zayin, When it comes to pas, he goes in the Prima Gadim that he's makel in a kli shlishi, even though we're machmir yesh bishal acharfia, and you can't put pas in a kli sheni because maybe it's kali bishal, but a kli shlishi, the Prima Gadim was makel. Does that mean the Prima Gadim was makel that you could put any kali bishal in a kli shlishi, or is there something unique about pas? Says Rabbi Karp, page Tafnun Dalid. No, Prima Gadim is only makel, and that which meikra din is not subject to bishul or only machmir. So pas meikra din is not kali bishul. So bishul achavi is a chumra, and to treat as kali bishul is a chumra. So for that, Prima Gadim says you could be makel in a kli shlishi. Mishabru and Sivkatan Membez, when he's talking about onions, Yesh lahachmir nami b'shar dvarim shelalin emikli sheni. It sounds like kli shlishi. Maybe would be okay. More Hashabbos understood in the Mishabura that the Mishabura was makel in general, that you can use a kli shlishi for anything. There's no bishul kli shlishi at all, except for tea, where tea may be worse because we'll talk about next time. It's nearer la'ayin that is misbashel. Shmir Shabbos seems to have assumed in the Mishabura that way as well, because he's paskins bestam that you could cook anything in a kli shlishi, even if it's yatzel at this bow. Rabbi Karp, Rabbi Nusin Mishabura to be machmir, that he's only makel in a situation of something that there's another chumra anyway in a kli sheni, that they were machmir in a kli shlishi, but that which would be machmir in a kli sheni meikra din, you'd have to be machmir in a kli shlishi as well. Chazan Ish, Simon and Beis, Os Yotes, thinks that there's no difference between a kli sheni or a kli shlishi at all. Everything depends on the heat. Meaning, if something is going to be cooked in a kli sheni b'yatzel adispo, it'll be cooked in a kli shlishi b'yatzel adispo. It's true, says the Chazon Ish, most of the time, a kli shlishi is not going to be yatzel adispo. But in principle, it would be mevashel, whatever would be mevashel in a kli sheni. Or Shabbos understood in the Chazon Ish, that the Chazon Ish says kli sheni is like a kli shlishi, but that's also cool in a kli sheni. That which meikra din is mutter in a kli sheni, like pas, maybe the Chazon Ish should be makel even in a kli sheni. And when it comes to tea, there it's clear that the Mishabura thinks kli shlishi is not sufficient for tea leaves. That's where he comes up to his onto his cup of essence that we'll talk about next time. The Rav is of the opinion that there's no such thing as a kli shlishi. Anything that's nispashel in a kli sheni is nispashel in a kli shlishi. That is the minhag of our yeshiva, I think. Our Rosh Yeshiva. That kli shlishi doesn't help you. And Rav Moshe was of the opinion that in a kli shlishi, anything goes. Chelek Dalid, Simen Ayin Dalid. That there's no bishul in a kli shlishi. And that is the subject of the Moshe Yes song on Journeys 5, which I thought we'd play a few seconds of. Why it's not playing?
What's Journey's 5? You want to play it out loud? Everybody can sing it.
Yeah. We use Slack as our central nervous system.
Yeah, 5 seconds. It's
actually like. Is it playing? There you go.
Confident and resolute, not much in life is absolute. How the future will unfold only with some. But in the year as much as can, one thing you can be sure is true, and he wrote it unequivocally.
Okay, I think we got the flavor. So that is subject to machlokas, despite the strident position of the lyricist. Yeah, that's true. He did. He did make that clear. But that was not the Rav's view, and the other song that I'm not going to sing, but if you want to play this to the lyrics of "There's No Such Thing as a Watermelon Tree," the lyrics would go, "There's no such thing as a cliché. There never was, there never will be. I guarantee you never will see a Talmud of the Rav using a cliché." Now, is there Mexican Mavashel in a cliché? So the Orcha Shabbos thinks maybe that's totally in the Machlokas, Mishnah Berurah and Chazon Ish, that if you think that there's a limited number of things that are subject to Bishel, even in a cliché, so we're less concerned about Mexican Bishel in a cliché. Although he thinks maybe everyone would agree that there's no Mexican Bishel in a cliché, because Iwi the cliché is both according to Tosafot Lamatas, and there's no Mexican Mavashel by Iwi the cliché, and that's the position of the Shvasitzuk as well, that we're not worried about Mexican Mavashel but cliché. So if something is not subject to, is not from the Kaliya Bishel, then even if you'd be Machmir in a cliché on that which is Mikaliya Bishel, if it's not Mikali Bishel, he wouldn't have to be a Machmir on Mexi Kemavasha. The next time, Mirz Hashem, we will discuss the Mishabu's recommendation about how to make tea on Shabbos, then move on to Eroi and Ladles and Kiruv Bishel. So again, the plan is to finish up Bishel next week, and then the week after will be a Chazar week leading up to Bechina. I'm just about done marking the Bechinas, so Bli Nether, I hope to have them for you on Sunday if you're interested.